Thank you, Dave, for leading us in our song service today. We appreciate that always. Sean, thank you, brother, for the scripture reading. You sound like Carla. She's homesick. She got that, I don't know, whatever that is that's going around. She's got it, came back from vacation. Thankfully, she wasn't sick while we were gone, but waited to get home. It's been kind of quiet around the house because she lost her voice. Don't tell her I said that. I wouldn't have said it if she was here. But just been a little quieter than normal. So appreciate it if you pray for her. We had a good trip to Tennessee. We went to La Follette, Tennessee, on a beautiful lake there. Had a lakeside resident that had enough room for everybody in the family, and so we had a great time. Got to meet my new grandson, Troy Richard. I don't know if I've told you, but my grandmother's brother's name was Troy. And, of course, I'm Richard. So, this just had to be inevitable, I guess. But we met him. He is a precious 10-year-old boy who's had a horrible life. And I'm learning, I've been reading, studying, preaching about our adoption as sons of God, and I guess now when you're in the position where you're literally taking someone from another family and bringing them into your family and saying to them, we extend to you every single privilege that our family has to extend, and he becomes a member of it, it really opened my eyes to the concept of adoption and of our being adopted into the family of God. I appreciate it if you pray for him. His name's Troy. Very polite, very well-mannered, but just, like I said, can't go into detail, but has had a really, really rough life. And I think probably he had the best Christmas of his existence. He never had anything like we were able to share with him. It's a privilege. It really is. And I praise God for him adopting me and us as his children and seeing us in an even more powerful light. But anyway, thank you. It's good to get back home. And I'm so sorry that Carla is sick. She really is not doing well. So please keep her in your prayers. I have been asked to deal with the subject. It's not an easy one, but of depression. One of the reasons that this is a good time to deal with it is because this is a time of year when possibly more people suffer from depression than any other time. I find that a little surprising because when I think of Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, I always think of it in a good light. But now that, you know, I've lost my mother, my father, my brother, I have no family to call on Christmas Day or to go and to celebrate with, except my immediate family, I understand. You miss people that you love. Your life changes as you go through and as you grow older to the point that I understand the depression. It's just a tough time of life for a lot of people. And it's something we all deal with. I don't know if you recognize the quote. This was said by a lawyer in the Midwest some time ago. He said, "I am now the most miserable man living. Whether I shall ever be better, I cannot tell." And it is sad to hear that, but of course this is our 16th president, Abraham Lincoln. At the time that he wrote that, his family, his friends, everyone that knew him, they were doing their very best to keep him away from sharp instruments, knives, razors, anything that he could use to cause himself harm because he was thinking about suicide. And by the way, let me say that immediately. If you are dealing with depression and that thought has crossed your mind, in the name of God, go get help now. Don't put it off. Don't make excuses. Get up and find somebody to talk to, because folks, suicide is not the answer. Taking your own life does not solve the problems that you face. And there's help available, which is one of the reasons for the lesson this morning. we all deal with it. Sometimes people are ashamed to say, well, I suffer from depression. I think sometimes some people use it as a crutch. I mean, that's the way we are. But to suffer from depression, there's nothing to be ashamed of, especially since we have developed the modern medicines and a better understanding that sometimes these things are literally caused by chemical imbalances in the body. And so when I was diagnosed as a diabetic about 2 years after learning to begin to live with diabetes, my endocrinologist called me in and said, well, we need to get you on some antidepressants. And I thought, why in the world do you need to do that? I'm doing fine. But they said, you know, when you're diabetic, those good things, those endorphins, the things that make you feel good, that takes that away from you. And many people who suffer from that have a need for it. Well, they put me on them, and I'm telling you, folks, I couldn't get off them quick enough. I mean, I understand it works for some, and Carla has helped that way as well. It doesn't work for me. There are other things that I guess I'm just blessed and lucky. But it's nothing to be ashamed of, and the help is there. And I just beg you, if you're dealing with it, go see someone who's a professional. I am not. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a psychologist. I do believe that the Word of God is inspired. If you've heard me preach, I hope you've picked up on that. Paul said, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, which is teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped, perfectly equipped, thoroughly furnished for everything that he needs for love and good works. And my greatest belief is that we find our answers in God's Word. And so that's what I want to offer when we deal with it today, especially this time of year. What does depression look like? You know, it's like getting a new prescription at the drugstore. You pick it up and you start reading all the possible side effects. And you wonder, should I even take this thing? You know, it can cause anything from, stomach irritation, ulcers to death. You know, so what do? Well, you take it anyway. You take a risk. And when you go through this list, you think, well, we've all dealt with most of these things. But what does it look like? Symptoms, persistent, sad, or anxious mood, anger, restlessness, irritability. I think that describes my childhood, frankly. Sleeplessness, or not getting enough sleep. Reduced appetite and weight loss. By the way, when I get depressed again, that's the one I'm going to go for. Or increased appetite and weight gain. Loss of pleasure and interest in things once enjoyed. I've seen this in so many dealing with them in counseling. Persistent physical symptoms that don't respond to treatment, such as chronic pain or digestive disorders. We have a number of our good brothers and sisters in this congregation who deal with this every single day. And it's rough. Difficulty concentrating, remembering, or making decisions. Fatigue or loss of energy. Feeling guilty, hopeless, or worthless. Thoughts of suicide or death. And again, let me say, if you're thinking that way, talk to somebody. Come talk to me. I may not have the help you need, but I can get you to someone who can help. So please take it seriously. Don't dabble with this. It is a serious problem. So you're probably thinking when you go through this list, well, no wonder the world's so hard to live in. Everybody's depressed. Because haven't you experienced most of those things in your life at one time or another? Ever had trouble sleeping? Well, was it because you're depressed? No, not necessarily, but it could be one of the symptoms. So there you go. So what causes depression? Again, the list is limited. Death or serious illness of a friend or family member. I hate death. It's the last enemy to be destroyed, Paul tells us. I hate it. I hate losing someone to death. I don't like it. I understand what it does to us. It is difficult to deal with and can cause serious depression. Loss of love or attention from a friend or family member. Nothing can send people in depression like a serious family spat. It's tough to not be able to get along with people in your own family, and it can cause depression. Or breakup of a romantic relationship. You get the relationship part. a great deal of depression has to do with relationships that we hoped were going to fulfill the loneliness or the emptiness inside, and probably we're looking in the wrong place because only God can do that, but He does help us have relationships with others in the way that, is proper. You lose that, that hurts. Family problems, especially parents' divorce, causes tremendous depression. Isolation, loneliness, which happens for many reasons. You see this in so many of the nursing homes. And if you went caroling, thank you. Next year, I hope even more. We had a really good group go, and that's something that we can do to help lift spirits. Well, it can also cause depression. Rejection, who enjoys being rejected? I mean, it's just rough. It really is. Physical, verbal, or sexual abuse. Genetic vulnerability, that is someone in your family, your immediate family has this problem genetically, you're probably going to have to deal with it as well. So there it is. Chemical imbalance, again, it's so important to understand there can be things that happen to us. Carla had a complete hysterectomy. I won't go into it because she'll kill me if I do, but it really changed her because she lost those fundamental hormones in the body, and many ladies have gone through this. It's very, very difficult. She needed help, and I'm thankful to God that she got it. It made a huge difference in her quality of life and thinking, and it's real, so, you know, get the help. Hormonal changes, just covered that. Substance abuse, if you're into that can... alcohol, drugs, you know the story. Hospitalization, especially when you're dealing with long-term chronic illnesses. Those are some of the things, but it's not an exhaustive list. It's a good list, but so many things can cause us to begin to deal with depression and the side impact. I think that most of you realize that many of our heroes of faith suffered from depression. Moses. He went from the moment God called him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, he dealt with a people who were constantly complaining and arguing and nitpicking and doing everything that was possible to make his life miserable. I mean, they just complained about everything. It didn't matter what he did, how well he did, if he was obeying God's specific instruction. The people griped about it from the moment they got up to when they went to bed. It was just horrible on him, and he was just trying to do God's will. And they said, well, we need water. So he gave them water. That wasn't good enough. They said, we're hungry. So God gave them manna. And they said, well, we're not hungry anymore, but we hate this manna. Give us something else. I mean, when you live with people who are constantly complaining and griping, it's no wonder you get depressed or start thinking about having suicidal thoughts. It's just... it's not right, but nonetheless, he dealt with it. Job, well, you know his story. Here's what he said in Job 3:11. Why did I not die at birth? Come forth from the womb and expire. I mean, he thought, why am I alive? You remember when you were a kid and you got your feelings hurt or you felt like they didn't appreciate you and you said, well, I'll kill myself. I'll show them. We call that cutting your nose off to spite your face. That's so wrong, but you think, well, they'll really regret it. If you saw Christmas Story, did any of you see that over the holidays? That's one of our, have to see it. You remember the episode where he was eating soap, and the soap caused him in his imagination to go blind. That's the way we think. We think, well, yeah, that's, Job says, I'd just rather not live at all. Job 3:26, he says, I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil. And that often describes those who are going through and experiencing deep depression. David, he faced it. In Psalm 6, verses 2, 3, and verse 6, he says, be merciful to me, Lord, for I am faint. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are in agony. I mean, depression can physically hurt. My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord, how long? And then he says in verse 6, I'm worn out from groaning all night long. I flood my bed with weeping. and drench my couch with tears. He understood. And you read through the Psalms and you see him at the heights and in the depths, because that's us. We go through them. God knew we needed help, so he gave us that. The Apostle Paul, God sent him to Troas, had the door open, people waiting to hear the gospel. And here's what Paul says, 2 Corinthians 12:12-13. Now when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me and the Lord, I mean, were there folks ready to be saved? He said, I had no rest for my spirit, not finding Titus my brother, but lacking my, taking my leave of them, I went on to Macedonia. I tell you, I admire Paul. He's one of my most respected biblical characters. He has influenced my life through his writing, through his life, as he has yours. And to hear this man say, yeah, the Lord opened the door. People were ready to obey the gospel, but I was so down and out, I couldn't do it. So he went off to find someone to help. Why did God send them out in twos? Because he knows that one is weak. Two is better than one. There's support. We need support. Paul needed it. But he had that, and then because of the great revelation God gave him, he gave him a thorn in the flesh. Now that's rough. God had called him up to the third heaven. That's in 2 Corinthians 11:12. He had seen where God lived. He couldn't tell us what it was like because we had nothing in common with where God lives and what he saw and to describe in human language. We just haven't experienced that. It's going to be awesome, folks. But he comes back, and because of this great revelation that he received, Paul said, God gave me a thorn in the flesh. Warren Wiersbe wrote about this, and he said, we do not know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. The word translated thorn means a sharp stake used for torturing someone. Can you imagine God giving that to somebody? Why would he do it? Well, it has much to do with how we get depressed. You have to trust God, and sometimes God gives us these really difficult things to prepare us for things that are even more difficult in the future. He knows, and we have to trust. He says, it was a physical affliction of some kind that brought pain and distress to Paul. Some think that Paul had an eye affliction, according to Galatians 6:11, but we cannot know for sure. He struggled with this thing, and I mean, that's the truth, brothers and sisters. We all, at one time or another, deal with depression. I fully understand why people in the world who do not have my hope and your hope in Jesus Christ are depressed. I really wonder how in the world they live at all. How do you live life without the hope of heaven? How do you live life without knowing Jesus Christ? How do you live life without having a purpose dealing with why God placed us here? How do you live life without knowing God? I remember what it was like. I was lost. I was dead in my trespasses and sins, just like Paul said in Ephesians 2. I remember being cut off from God. I remember the hopelessness. I remember going to bed at night after being on a binge of one kind or another and saying, Jesus, don't come tonight because I go straight to hell. But I didn't really intend to change. Any of you ever been there? I remember when the reality hit me that I was lost. That's why I'm saved today, by the way. I don't want to be lost. I do not want to lose my soul. I want to go to heaven. So, I remember. And if you're there, I hope and pray you'll do something about it, because you don't have to live that way. But as we've just seen, God's people also suffer from depression. So because we're Christians doesn't mean we're immune to these things. And I'm sorry, because there's some preachers out there saying that if you ever get depressed, you can't really be a Christian. And I'm looking back at Paul and David and Job and Moses and Elijah. And there's this long list of folks who got mighty depressed serving the Lord. I think they're wrong. It's a part of reality. So the answer is God will hear and God will help. if we find ourselves in this dark world of depression, David wrote in Psalms 41 and 2, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. God hears and He will lift. Sometimes, folks, there's a purpose for the mud and the mire, though. And that's something that we need to bear in mind. In Job 42, verse 12, after Job lost everything, and you know his story, we read, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. I'm glad to hear that, but you know, during that whole episode, Job never got an explanation. God didn't come and explain to him why he went through this. Isn't that? Whoa! He did not. He showed up and he said, I'm God. I'm in charge. And let me handle it. And Job said, I'm with you, Lord. He got it. Well, it's not easy to do that, folks. And we know that God blessed him with greater prosperity and a larger family. But I wouldn't have wanted to lose the first family. How about you? I mean, come on. But this is a reality that we deal with, Christian or non-Christian. And we need to understand. Paul says it in 2 Corinthians 12:9. God's answer to him was, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, there's a really important principle here. Again, Warren Wiersbe, he's a really good Bible scholar. I enjoy reading. He said, God did not give Paul any explanations. Instead, he gave him a promise. And that's an important truth for us to understand when we're dealing with depression. God does not always explain himself, does he? And folks, many times when God does explain himself, it's so long after the time that we were going through this that we wonder, why did I get the answer now instead of back then when I so desperately wanted it? Well, God desires for us to walk by faith, to trust him, good or bad. God causes all things to work together for good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28 says. So if we do, that means when we're going through the tough times, we have to believe his promise. He won't explain himself. We have to believe what his promises are. And believe me, it works. God does not give us explanations. He says, look at the promises. And again, he never explained himself to Job. And I'm convinced, folks, that's not why he's doing this or allowing this. And I think that as Christians, we need to remember that it's not explanations that we walk by. It is a belief in the promises of God. It's faith. God promises to take care of us and not to forsake us. And in Paul's case, he says, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Did Paul understand? Obviously, he did not. But he accepted it. So when we're dealing with it, we just need to trust in God. Our task is to do that, and then what other things can we do? Well, we can certainly ask God for help. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, beginning in verse 7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And he goes on to give examples of that, and he sums it up in verse 11. He said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? So ask, but sometimes God says no. And that's a tough answer, isn't it? And sometimes God says yes, immediately. That's my favorite answer right there. And sometimes God says, wait, be patient, trust him. And he gives us a promise. And I encourage us all to live by that. So what can we do? Well, there's so many different suggestions. I want to make a few. Number one, it's been my experience when dealing with folks that are often really dealing with depression, they have often developed a habit of complaining, of looking at life in the negative. of seeing everything that's wrong and not the things that are right or good. And they develop a mindset where there's literally little hope of any good coming because all they see is the bad. It's the everything stinks and you can't convince me otherwise. You know, have you ever dealt with someone like that? Well, you're unhappy with your job. How would you like to have this one? Somebody does that. And evidently it's more than one person because look at, there's another one. So my goal in life is to go through life sniffing men's armpits. Anybody want to volunteer? Does your job look better already? Does it? I mean, honestly, if we really look at how God has blessed us, that changes everything. And it seems that many who are dealing with depression are just looking for the bad and cannot stop looking at the bad and so miss all the good. That's the rear end of an elephant. That lady's job is to catch the, you get it? I see people walking our neighborhood with their little doggy scoops. She needs a 55-gallon drum. Want to change jobs? Uh-huh. How about that one? North Korea, go hold the target. I mean, I've taught every gun law I know of, you know, that I was raised with says, you never, ever, ever do, you never step in front of a loaded, no, but there's somebody with that job. Don't you feel sorry for him? I mean, there are conditions where things are so miserable, we would give anything to just have what we've got right now. How about that one? I'm telling you, that thing, I can't look at that long. I had to learn to work at heights, but I never had to do an eye rise like this. How do they do it? And then there's this picture. My question is, who's taking the picture? Where is that person? I mean, look, I'm really happy to be a preacher of the gospel, okay? Don't ask me to go up like that. I know some people it doesn't faze. I ain't one of them. Aren't you glad you got what you got? I looked at that and just got so frustrated. What if you have to go to the bathroom? How do you get out? There's nowhere to get out. My assumption is they tell them you sit and you work for this period of time and they give them a break where everybody has to run and go to the restroom. And I guess they have to find, I don't know. But again, when you say, what is she doing? She's waiting for this guy to throw those at her. I don't know, thank you. We could go on for a long time. If that horse goes a little low, no thank you, no thank you. Have a good brother in Christ in Little Rock, Arkansas as a plumber. Makes a great living. When we were there years ago, we lived next door to him. He came home and he put up plywood around his, he had a not a garage, but a place to park a car under the roof, and he put plywood around it for some reason. And I said, why'd you do that? And he said, because so often when I come home from work, the first thing I have to do is hose off. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, the current job I have, the plumbing broke down years ago and they just kept flushing it and it went down below the house. And he said, I mean, a year and a half to 2 years of that, can you imagine? And he had to clean it up. Are you more thankful for what you got? You see, if we go around always complaining and looking, we can find it, but it also brings us into depression. It's a way of thinking. And it's just one, folks, that God says, you really need to change that. I like that one, don't you? If you got a complaint, take the number, and as soon as you pull that number on the hand grenade, you're gone. So, no complaint. And I'm sorry, I shouldn't have thrown that in there. Here's what God says. Listen to it, brothers and sisters. The same God who told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Same God who said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Same God who says that he wants all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. The same God that says, repent or perish. Every commandment that God has given us, this is a commandment with the same God saying it. And what does he say to us? Do everything without complaining or arguing. Philippians 2:14. And I know people who honestly tell me I have the right to complain. Well, maybe you do, But God commanded you not to. And it's that kind of thinking that gets us into a rut where we go right into depression. And one of the things we've got to do to get out is to change our way of thinking. And it can be done. God says, stop doing it. Enough. So if you're dealing with this, this would probably be one of the best first steps you could take. And you say, you're just offering platitudes. It's not a platitude. It's a commandment from the throne of God, from God Himself. Do not think this way. And don't allow yourself to get into it where everything is critical. It ruins and destroys life. God, we don't have a God-given right to complain. We have a God-given right to not complain. The other way around doesn't work. So that's one thing that we can do. And we have illustrations of how disgruntled God became with His people when they did this. 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Why not? Because they grumbled and griped about everything. He goes on to admonish us, 1 Corinthians 10:10, and do not grumble as some of them did, and they were killed by the destroyer angel. How serious is it? God took the lives of those who established this as a pattern of thinking. Believe me, you may think, well, it has nothing to do with depression, but it's just something God says, you got to start looking at your blessings. It's why we talk about thanksgiving. It's why God says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's the difference. And folks, I found that people who are genuinely thankful, I'm not saying they never get depressed, but they generally aren't conquered by it when they do. There are too many blessings. So it's changing. Second, whenever you're tempted, I'm sorry, I'm not there yet. Whenever you're tempted to tell your troubles to other people, remember that half your listeners aren't interested and the rest are glad you're finally getting what's coming to you. And by the way, that's not true. I will gladly listen. Many of us here will gladly listen. But it's also partly true too, isn't it? We reap what we sow. So, okay, second, stay tuned. What do you mean? We tune in to everything. What's your favorite music? Like country? You like rock and roll? You like classics? What do you like? Well, you probably have your radio where you push the buttons and pop, that's where you go. You've got your favorites. So tune into the right stations. Tune into the ones that are going to encourage you. If you're a sports fan, love the sports fans. You know, if you like everybody, by the way, Carl and I discovered everybody likes Raymond about 20 years after it went off the air. We tend to do that. Honestly, if somebody's saying this is a great one, we generally aren't. We just don't watch a lot of the trash that's on TV. And I'm sorry, that's what it is. It's trash. But everybody loves Raymond. Isn't that the title? I didn't. I thought he was one of the dumbest, stupidest guys I ever saw in my life. And I said in the presence of Carla one day, this is so unreal. No husband is that dumb. And you know what she did? She gave me the look. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You tune in. Well, tune in to the right things. Tune in to things that will lift you up, not send you into depression. Psalms 9:9, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed. And we could say the depressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Psalms 121, 1 and 2, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Look to Him. Tune in the right places and you'll be edified instead of destroyed. Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim the works of His hand. If God can make all of that out there, don't you think He can solve our problems? Amen? If He can just speak it all into existence, do you think we're dealing with something that He can't handle? So go to Him and ask. It makes a tremendous difference. Tune in right. The Bible tells us in Galatians 3, 26 and 27, you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. It's a blessing that we can all have. We can all have the privilege of being God's children, of being His sons, of being adopted into His family. I told you I've been thinking about this a good bit. This is where you start. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Believe in Him and follow Him and listen to His Word. And so many of the things that we deal with, we don't have to deal with them. He'll protect us if we'll just tune in to the right places and do the right thing. And if you haven't done that, great time of the year to do it is when you're starting a new year. Because folks, that's so many people I know who are dealing, often, who are dealing with depression. One of their first thoughts is to quit going to church. You know, Satan is so good at what he does. Because when you're seeking to follow Jesus, and you know you need to go to church, you know you need to study, you know you need to pray, isn't it amazing when we start dealing with depression and hard times, some of the first things we give up are the things that would help us the most. That's Him. Don't allow it. Fully embrace your childhood as God's son and God's daughter and tune into the right place. This one helps shape up. And yes, I'm saying it, old fat me, but it's still true. The doctor asks me every time if I'm doing my walking, and I say, sometimes. I try. Can't do a lot of things I wish I still could do, but being in physical shape, exercising really helps. It really does. 1 Timothy 4:8, we read, for physical training is of some value. He didn't say it has no value. There's some people who put the focus all here. There's more to it, but nonetheless, it's important. He goes on to say, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. And they did, of course, studies, and they found that those who exercised on a regular basis improved in just about every area. Their outlook and their dealing with depression. They were better at making complex decisions. So it really does help. It really does. It loosens endorphins in the body, and they help us to feel better. God put them there for a reason. The serotonin and endorphins, that's part of it. That's a quick one. It's that chemical imbalance. We were fortunate enough. And by the way, I say this and people often think, well, boy, you guys must have been rich. We had a pool in Florida, but pretty much everybody in Florida has a pool. Do you understand that? It wasn't an Olympic-sized pool, but it was wonderful. The kids were the perfect age. But I learned firsthand what it takes to keep a pool in good shape. You have to keep a chemical balance in the water, or it will turn green or worse. And then it takes some work to get it back to where it belongs. Well, that's the same thing for us. We need to make sure that we're not allowing the negative influences to get in and to dirty up our thinking or our water. And it's hard to do. Sometimes there's just nothing like having a pity party with other people. It's just so fun to be poor, miserable me, you know. What was that, Linda Ronstadt? Poor, poor, miserable me. I'm not going to sing. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Forgive me. But you get the point. We can just... Well, that doesn't help. What we've got to do is combat it and do our best to shape up and to keep ourselves from the negative influences of other people. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Proverbs 12:26, a righteous man is cautious in friendship, But the way of the wicked leads them astray. You need to have good people who will help you to think in the right way. What did God do? He gave us the church, where we're to encourage one another to love and good works. Remember that passage? Why do we need that? Because God understands how difficult it is to stay faithful and to keep a proper perspective on faith and the work of the church. Because there's no church that's perfect. There are no perfect elders. There are no perfect preachers. No perfect deacons. No perfect deacons' wives or elders' wives. We're all saved, sinful people who continue to sin. We're not perfect. And if you allow that critical attitude in your thinking toward the church, it won't be long before you'll find enough reasons to just quit. Because everything isn't the way you thought it ought to be. Or you're concentrating again on those, you tuned into the wrong station. Are there things here that need improving? Amen. Are there things here that don't really need, we could improve everywhere, but pretty good stuff? Yes. Which ones do you concentrate on? It makes a difference. If you're around people who are tearing you down, understand that. Proverbs 14:7, stay away from a foolish man, for you will not find knowledge on his lips. And it seems to me sometimes when folks are dealing with depression, they're around people who just encourage that kind of thinking. They make it worse and not better. It's better to stay with them. And of course, you know this one. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Develop the right kind of relationships. And finally, seek to serve others. Get involved with someone beside yourself. Now, I know when you're dealing with depression, one of the hardest things to do is to make yourself get up and do something. I understand that. I've been there. A lot of people have been there. But let me tell you, folks, one of the best things you can do if you're dealing with depression is to get up and focus on somebody beside yourself. Find somebody who needs some help. Find somebody that you can encourage. Find somebody that you can lift up and start serving. And before you know it, you're going to be so aware of other people and less aware of yourselves that you're going to find yourself overcoming the depression. It's so important to think of other people. That's exactly what Jesus did when he came. Matthew 9:36 says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. And there are a lot of people out there that need help. And the Lord sent them the church. That's us. And we are to help them. And sometimes we can become so internalized, we don't even see anyone around us who has need. Find somewhere to serve. Get involved with others. Paul tells us in Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Really get involved. And it makes such a difference in our lives spiritually. In Proverbs 12:25, we read, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. And sometimes that's all people need, is just a kindness, a kind word. It helps us to get outside of ourselves. God put us here to bless others, and we need to be in that business. In Proverbs 11:25, the wise man said, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And that's what happens. You start serving others and caring about others and praying for them and praying for their problems. And by the way, I don't want to forget that. Put that up here for a reason. Mark May, Sandy Howe's brother, he suffered a heart attack. He's going to have surgery on Tuesday, it looks like, open heart surgery. We want to pray for him. And how about if I just close the lesson that way, okay? Let's pray for him and for one another. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the new year. It's so good to just have the opportunity to start all over again, to begin anew. Father, we are aware of our failures, of our sins. We're aware of how far short we fall of your glory. And Father, it's a frustration. I think within all of us there's a desire to be good and to do right, and yet sometimes, Father, it's such a struggle. And we deal with emotions, and sometimes emotions get to the point that they absolutely rule our lives. Sometimes we become so depressed, Father, we just don't know what to do. We pray that we use these things that are in your word, that you've clearly taught us, just simple principles to learn how to think right and to tune in right, to get involved with other people and to care and to serve, just to do these simple little steps, Father. I know that they help, that they help us to get out of our ruts and out of our thinking sometimes, just to help others. If there are people here dealing with this, Father, we pray for each one of them. They come from so many different angles, and they're dealing with so many different problems. We just hold them all up to you and ask you to bless them and lead them and help us. And Father, in the body, help us to be a help to others. It's so easy to become so caught up in ourselves and what we want and what we like and what we desire that we can find ourselves causing problems with others. Help us to see the opportunities to serve. Help us to see the opportunities to reach out. Help us, Father, to refresh others. And we know that as we do that, we ourselves will be refreshed. Just help us to follow your word. It's a great new year. It's the beginning of a new decade. So many things are new, Father. We pray for each person here today that you'll help us to just take a moment and examine our lives, our souls, to ask ourselves the questions if we're doing right and if we're right with you. And if not, when we offer the invitation, would you help us to have the courage to respond, whether to just pray where we are or to come forward to ask for prayer. And if there's one here today that hasn't put on Christ, that hasn't become your son or daughter, it's so easy and so simple. Would you help them to have the courage to do it so that we can all understand and know the blessings of being adopted into your family and declared your sons and daughters. Be with us. Help us, Father, in every issue that we deal with. And above all, help us to love and encourage one another. And Father, we pray for Mark. We pray, we have so many, but we pray for him in the surgery, that he'll be kept safe, that the surgery will go well. And we have so many, we just hold them all up to you and ask you, Father, to take care of them and help us to trust you and to love you and to walk in close fellowship with you more so than ever before in the year to come. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Father. Amen.